look out, babe.
She's not the little girl I once knew. 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 How could I ever have known that she'd be what she is today? And look at how her boyfriend holds her. I'll be moving in one day.
Split. Good morning, everybody. A little more Beach Boys for you here. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and I am so glad you're with us. We have so much to talk about this morning. Among other things, we're going to talk about the top commander in Afghanistan who may be fired for his latest comments in Rolling Stone magazine. We will discuss all of the ramifications of that. He's on his way to the White House to probably be pilloried. Anyway, speaking about leaving, the White House budget director is doing just that, and we will discuss that as well. And conservative black columnist Thomas Sowell is asking if we are on the road or the slippery slope to tyranny with the Obama administration. We will discuss that as well. Meantime, you are in luck. You are listening to Tampa Bay's only regular ongoing libertarian radio show, Freedom Works. We are here to champion the concept of more personal responsibility and personal freedom in your life, meaning less federal government and, frankly, state and local government taking up the slack and starting off with personal freedom and personal responsibility first. Anyway, we're glad you're with us. We come to you Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the TAN Talk Network. Also available worldwide from our website, thefreedomworks.com. Please go to thefreedomworks.com and find out more about the program and more about libertarianism. Find out if you're a libertarian. You can contribute to the support of the program there. You can listen to past programs that we've done, all kinds of good stuff. Make a point of going there. And if you'd like to call us, we have a toll-free number, 866-826-1340, 866-826-1340. Local lights can call 727-441-3000. And finally, if you'd like to send us an email, you can do that as well. freedomworksemail@yahoo.com. freedomworksemail@yahoo.com. Well, if you've been listening to the news this morning, you know that the top commander in Afghanistan, General Stanley McChrystal, is being ordered back to the White House. And he's being called on the carpet to meet with President Obama after issuing an apology today for an interview in Rolling Stone magazine in which he described the president as unprepared for their first meeting. In the article in this week's issue of the magazine, McChrystal also says he felt betrayed and blindsided by his diplomatic partner, Ambassador Carl Eikenberry. Now, this is not the first time that McChrystal has gotten himself in some hot water with the administration. But his comments are apparently reverberating throughout D.C. and the Pentagon, after the magazine depicted him as a lone wolf on the outs with many important figures in the Obama administration. It characterizes him as unable to convince some of his own soldiers that his strategy can win the nation's longest-running war, the war in Afghanistan, and also that he is dejected that Obama does not know about McChrystal's commendable military record. I don't know why that's funny, but I guess he feels that, you know, we got a guy that got into the White House that doesn't really know what everything's is about, particularly on the war side. Now, McChrystal has issued a statement. He says, quote, "I extend my sincerest apology for this profile. It was a mistake reflecting poor judgment and should never have happened." So he goes to the Situation Room on Wednesday. I wonder why they call it the Situation Room. It sounds like a war room is really what it's. Do you remember there was a movie with Peter Sellers?
Dr. Strangelove.
Thank you, sir.
The War Room, right?
Called the War Room. Remember, there was a scene in there where the ambassador from Russia and the top commander got into a fighting.
General Jack Ripper
got into an absolute fighting match, and the president, played by Peter Sellers, says, gentlemen, what are you doing? Stop it. This is the war room.
Yeah, I've never seen such behavior war room.
You can't do that. You can't do that in here. This is the war room. So anyway, he's going to go to the Situation Room tomorrow and sit down with the president. When he gets up, he may have been removed from his command in Afghanistan. In fact, a lot of people are betting just that. He's going to supposedly explain his comments. But, you know, when you're called into the White House, it ain't because they want you to taste some tea unless there's some strychnine in it. And so you can almost bet that there's a good chance he's gone, or at least he will be gone.
Well, unless he grovels and
I don't even know if groveling.
And begs and...
The one thing in his favor is that he's well liked, and they cast him as a man that knows what he's about when it comes to fighting wars. It will not look good for Obama to get rid of the guy from a lot of let's say people that believe in winning the war in Afghanistan.
So, do you go into the Situation Room when you have a situation? Is that what it's about?
I think that's why.
Gentlemen, we have a situation. It's time to go to the Situation
Room. Yeah, I think that's probably it. I'm not even sure what the Situation Room looks like. It might be. You remember talking about old movies. Do you remember Get Smart when they had to have private conferences? Well, I do. There would be this glass dome that would come down over the two people that had to have a private conference. It looked like it was made out of some sort of plastic thing, very cheap looking, and it would drop over you. And then the two of them would try to be talking to each other because they were now each encased in, and they couldn't hear each other.
Okay.
That was Get Smart.
Oh, they had their separate?
Yeah, they had separate, they had individual
enclosures?
Plastic enclosures.
I vaguely remember that, Paul. I just liked that. I know you've got, but you know, the Men from U.N.C.L.E. guys had flip phones. They had cell phones.
Yes, they did, didn't they?
They had flip phones. I mean, they were, this is, it was like
Napoleon
prophetic.
Solo and Ilya Kuryakin.
Yeah.
You're right. And Mr. Waverly, do you remember him?
Yeah.
Mr.
Sure.
Waverly.
Kind old Mr. Waverly.
Yeah.
He's an old spook.
Leo G. Carroll played him.
Mm-hmm. Sure I do.
It was after he had played a spook in North by Northwest, by the way. Just a few years later, they brought him back, and he was the spook in The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Interesting,
isn't it? We're completely getting away from the whole concept of this program, back
to
old-time television, which, by the way, we could turn this program into old-time television remembrances and further decrease our listenership, probably among most people. However, it is fun to go back and think about all those things.
It is.
So he's in the Situation Room, and at one time, McChrystal apparently characterized his very first meeting with President Obama as a, quote, 10-minute photo op. So he started getting himself in trouble right from the get-go with Obama. And then he went on to say Obama clearly didn't. No, this is an advisor saying this, so I don't want to quote McChrystal, but an advisor to McChrystal said the following at the time. Obama clearly did not know anything about him, meaning McChrystal, who he was. The boss was pretty disappointed. So I guess McChrystal was upset, you know, right from the get-go on that, too. Now, let's be honest. Most of the soldiers that are fighting these wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and in fact, most of the soldiers in our army, are not necessarily big fans of Barack Obama. That's just the way it is. When you see votes for presidents, typically the military votes Republican. They did so in the last election. If you go back and look at the votes, and they'll probably continue to do that. They tend to be more, whatever the word is, more conservative, more hawkish, more pro, you know, stick our chest out America kind of people. And they don't perceive Obama as that. And I think McChrystal is in that boat as well. So the odds are good that McChrystal is going to be gone pretty soon. And the question will be, who will be running the war in Afghanistan? But he's not the only one leaving. We're going to take a break now, if we could. We're going to tell you about somebody else in the White House administration for sure that's leaving. So don't go away. You're listening to Freedom Works, and we will be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
If I could guarantee everyone laughed at my jokes, I would. So anyway, this guy says,
if I could guarantee my mother-in-law agreed with me.
Honey, are you sure you really want to do it that way? I mean, far be it from.
Yeah, I would.
I would too. And if you could hire a business with a guarantee, you would. Now you can. Protect yourself with the Super Guarantee from Super Media. Just look in the Verizon Yellow Pages. From painters to caterers to AC repairmen, you'll get the job done right, or we'll step in and help to make it right. Best of all, it's free.
Well, I can't guarantee my neighbor will ever return my weed whacker. It's been 6 months. I can protect myself with the Super Guarantee.
Why wouldn't you? Just look for the shield in the only Yellow Pages with the Super Guarantee, the Verizon Yellow Pages, and let the good guys, you know, the ones in the yellow capes, come to the rescue.
On its way now, the new Verizon Yellow Pages with larger, easier-to-read print. Look inside for the Super Guarantee from Super Media. Restrictions apply. See full terms and conditions for this program at superguarantee.com.
Hey, we're glad you're listening to Freedom Works. And if you like what you're hearing, there's something you can do to help keep us on the air. You can visit our website at thefreedomworks.com and make a contribution, anything from $20 on up, and it'll go directly to our program and our efforts to get out the libertarian message of less government in our lives and more personal freedom and responsibility. And while you're there at the website, you can find out more about libertarianism. You can also take a very short quiz to see where you fit in on the political spectrum. And you can find out more about people that have stood for libertarian principles like Milton Friedman and Ayn Rand. But please consider backing our show with a contribution. We even make it easy for you with a credit or debit card. And once again, that's thefreedomworks.com. And by the way, thanks for listening.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. June 22nd, 2010. Gold opened this morning at $1,235.70. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,268.57, $634.29 for a half ounce, or $317.14 for the quarter ounce. That's $1,268.57, $634.29, and $317.14.
Making the right decision is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or worse, depression? Many investors are turning to gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold. Discussing costs, benefits, risks, the book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold can be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, this book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Tampa Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Hey, we're back, my friends, on Freedom Works. Thank you very much for being with us this morning. Breaking news, we're always casting one eye towards what's going on in the world. Home sales have sunk 2.2% in May, despite help from federal tax credits. So home sales are not picking up yet. Things are still tough out there, my friends. But along with that, where do you think America's money is moving to? you know, the people with the money, where are they going with it? Well, this is not surprising. This is a Forbes magazine analysis of IRS data. And it says that America's wealthy like warm weather and low taxes. Surprise, surprise. And guess where they are moving to? They are moving to Florida and Texas. Topping the list, Collier County, Florida, which includes the city of Naples. Tax returns accounting for a little over 15,000 people showed moves to Collier County from other parts of the country in 2008, which is the latest year for which this data is available. Now, the average reported income of these people, about $76,000. It says, although slightly more people moved out of Collier County than into it during the period, the departing residents were a lot poorer. They averaged about $26,000. So the rich are moving into Collier County and Naples, and the poor are moving out, apparently. Households that moved to Collier County mainly came from other parts of Florida, however. Lee, Miami-Dade, Broward, Palm Beach, and Orange counties leading the list. Also, a lot of northern cities sent a lot of people there. The Chicago County of Cook County, Illinois, Oakland County, Michigan, near Detroit, and Suffolk County, New York, which includes Long Island. Apparently, each sent more than 100 people to Collier County during 2008. So I'm trying to find where else. In second place, I would never have gotten this one, but in second place, they're going to Greene County, Georgia. Greene County, Georgia. Apparently, that's a real tax haven. It's about 75 miles east of Atlanta. Rounding out the top five, Nassau County, Florida. That's near Jacksonville. Llano County, Texas, which is near Austin, Texas. Well, it's about 70 miles northwest of Austin. And then Walton County, Florida, which is about 80 miles east of Pensacola. Overall, the dominance of the list was Florida and Texas. So, I mean, if I had a lot of money, I guess I would look for a tax haven as well to keep as much of my money as possible. I know people that have moved out, actually moved to places like Barbados and will establish a home there and call it their main domicile. They may live somewhere else, but they can, if they spend a certain amount of time each year in Barbados, they can call that their home. And I don't think Barbados has any income tax. So a lot of people do things like that as well. Anyway, as promised, we got somebody else leaving the White House administration. It's the budget director, Peter Orszag. He's going to resign this year. And this will be the first high-profile member of President Obama's team to go out the door. Now, he was director of the Office of Management and Budget, or they call it OMB. He held a cabinet-level rank and a pivotal role in shaping how the administration spent the money that they kept getting. And he quickly emerged from his post to become a somewhat camera-friendly face of Obama's government, appeared on a lot of different programs. The exact timing of his leaving, unclear. Apparently, the move had been speculated for some time. He's 41 years old. He came from the position of director of the Congressional Budget Office. That's the CBO. That's over in the legislative branch of the government. Whether and why he's leaving, we're not sure. But it's got to be a tough job. The slings and arrows that are being thrown at the Obama administration for the money that they are spending. And let's talk a little bit about some of the things that have been going on with the money that they've spent and are trying to spend. In fact, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid scolded some of his colleagues yesterday for twice voting to block advancement of the so-called extender bill. Now, the extender bill includes jobless benefits extensions. And now it's been stalled because of the fear of spending more money. Reid said that when the Senate refuses to pass good bills, people in our state, which is for him Nevada, pay the price. He says every minute we waste gets worse for them. It would serve the Senate well to remember the consequence of decisions that are driven by politics purely. Well, people are afraid in Congress right now to spend a lot more money. And let's face it, a lot of people on unemployment have had their benefits extended and continuing to be extended. And a lot of people say, well, you know, when you're on unemployment, it's a disincentive to finding a job. A lot of people just stay on unemployment and stay on it until it runs out. Then they look for a job. And I think there is some truth in that. Now, this bill is called an extender because it revives some of the expired tax cuts for small businesses while raising taxes on venture capital firms, and then provides extended payments to the unemployed. Now, the House approved its own version of this bill, the extender bill, and then back in March, the Senate approved a similar measure. But they can't seem to come to an agreement on it. And twice last week, the agreement bill, you know, the one that they fashioned between the two houses, failed to advance on key procedural votes. Now, concern over the federal debt, we're now past the $13 trillion mark, is one of the major reasons. A recent Gallup poll says close to 80% of Americans say the debt is a very serious or extremely serious issue. And it tops the list. Actually, it's tied with terrorism as the two top concerns of Americans right now. Usually, the debt has not been a big thing. It's always hovering, you know, midway down concerned issues for Americans. But now it's right at the top. So people are, you know, perking up their ears to all of this. And this is not the only bill that's not making it through. We talked about cap and tax or cap and trade. That's not going to make it through. They've already pushed, you know, finance reform, and they've pushed health care legislation through. And quite frankly, they're not going to get anything more through between now and November. There just isn't the stomach for it in Congress to pass anything else. So you're going to see a bit of a, I don't know what you call it now, a sort of a relaxed Congress, if that's the right term. They're going to be playing around between now and November. They're trying to keep their phony baloney jobs. Remember, the entire Congress, the entire House, all 435 members are up for election. And there are a lot of people out there that can't wait to get to the voting booth and vote them out. Anything but the incumbent. There's a lot of that going on right now. Well, the Supreme Court was active again in a case pitting free speech against national security. Yesterday, the court upheld a federal law that makes it a crime to provide material support to foreign terrorist organizations, even if the support is training for peacefully resolving conflicts. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote for the majority, which was a 6-3 majority, meaning that there were liberals that voted for this bill. And Roberts said the law's prohibition of providing some type of intangible assistance to groups that the State Department says engage in terrorism does not violate free speech in the First Amendment. Now, this is the court's first ruling on free speech and terrorism and their rights since the 9/11 attacks. Now, the majority said deference to the other branches was called for, giving the threat of terrorism you know, being the issue. So I think there was a group that wanted to provide assistance to some of the people on battlefields that were deemed terrorists. And I'm trying to find where that specific case was that finally made its way to the Supreme Court. And I do not see it. But the decision was a victory, by the way, for Elena Kagan, who is up for being the next Supreme Court justice to replace John Paul Stevens. It was a victory for her. She had argued in February that free speech rights should not extend to helping terrorists, no matter even if it's for charitable reasons. Again, Chief Justice Roberts said the government had advanced a position that was too extreme and did not take adequate account of the free speech interests at stake. And the government is wrong, Roberts said, that the only thing actually at issue in this litigation is conduct. This is not a free speech issue, and it's not protected by the First Amendment. So anyway, if you go out there and help a terrorist, even if it's just a matter of binding his wounds or doing anything like that, if you're at war, they consider that you can't do that. Can't do that. I tell you what, we're going to take another break, and I want to come back and talk about Thomas Sowell. He is a black conservative columnist, and he is writing that perhaps we are now on the slippery slope to tyranny with the President Obama administration. Don't go away.
So, you think all water parks are created equal? Think again. Only one Orlando water park is built to give you that high-octane double-shot adrenaline rush, and that's Wet n' Wild, where it's all about the thrills. Bigger, higher, faster, with more multi-person thrill rides than any other water park around. Where else but Wet n' Wild can you experience the mind-numbing buzz of Brainwash, the hyptronic groove of the Disco H2O, or the cosmic rush of the black hole, the next generation? Right now at Wet n' Wild, Florida residents can get a full day of pulse-pounding thrills for just $32 plus tax with a valid Florida ID. So if you're looking for pure exhilaration, look no further than the park named by the Travel Channel as one of America's most extreme water parks. Wet n' Wild, in Orlando, or on the web at wetandwildorlando.com.
Hey, we're glad you're listening to Freedom Works. And if you like what you're hearing, there's something you can do to help keep us on the air. You can visit our website at thefreedomworks.com and make a contribution, anything from $20 on up, and it'll go directly to our program and our efforts to get out the libertarian message of less government in our lives and more personal freedom and responsibility. And while you're there at the website, you can find out more about libertarianism. You can also take a very short quiz to see where you fit in on the political spectrum. And you can find out more about people that have stood for libertarian principles like Milton Friedman and Ayn Rand. But please consider backing our show with a contribution. We even make it easy for you with a credit or debit card. And once again, that's thefreedomworks.com. And by the way, thanks for listening.
Hi, everyone. This is Shauna Vircher, letting you know that I'll be hitting the airwaves Tuesdays at noon Eastern. Join me and my guests as we give you a backstage pass to the hottest topics in the media industry, the business world, and current events. I'll interview inventors, authors, executives, and even a few celebrities to give you the real story of what's happening now and what to watch for in the future. The Shauna Vircher Show, Tuesdays at noon Eastern. The most informative and entertaining way to spend your lunch hour, and it's calorie-free.
Yeah, I'm going to make a citizen's arrest and take this stuff.
You're going to make a citizen's arrest on me?
Yeah, I'm going to take this stuff here.
Yeah?
All right, I'm holding you. Call, yeah. Get the marshal. We'll see who's wrong.
You get the marshal right now?
We'll see who's wrong.
You think there will come a day that you'll be vindicated?
Come on, OJ. Give me a break. It's Gary Garver, and I'm live every Tuesday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Brought to you by Mighty Grip. Go to mightygrip.com.
We are back on Freedom Works. I am Paul Malloy, along with Lee Clark at the controls. Thank you very much for being with us. We're going to talk about Thomas Sowell in a moment and his belief that we may be on the road or slippery slope to tyranny with the current Obama administration. But prior to that, I want to talk a little bit about something that will play into his column, and that is that the government, the Labor Department in particular, intends to issue regulations this week that will force or order businesses to give gay workers equal treatment under a law permitting family leave, unpaid time off to care for loved ones. Labor Secretary Hilda Solis plans to announce tomorrow that the government would require employers to extend the family leave benefits to gay couples. And the move comes less than 5 months before, of course, the elections. It's going to be inciting a lot of people to take sides on this thing again. And I bring it up because I remember when the Family Medical Leave Act came up years ago, and I was working at the time for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce out of their Chicago office. And it was about that time that I started thinking, why would the government come in and force businesses to tell people when they could take time off and when they could not? I really thought that was an intrusion into the private workplace. I still do. And this is talking about a slippery slope. This is exactly what a slippery slope is. You start out by giving leave benefits to married people, and immediately, or not immediately, but eventually, non-married people will have the benefits, and everybody gets the benefits. And then you wonder if people will take advantage of that, just take time off, knowing that they can't be fired. So all of this, you know, certainly might be based on good intention, give people time off, but the whole concept of the government making the decisions rather than the company along with the employees is just a perfect example of how we go down the slippery slope to the government controlling more and more and more of our lives. So, having said that, I would like to read Thomas Sowell and what he has to say about our slippery slope to tyranny. He says, when Adolf Hitler was building up the Nazi movement in the 20s, leading up to his taking power in the 30s, he deliberately sought to activate people who did not normally pay much attention to politics. Those kind of people were a valuable addition to his political base, since they were particularly susceptible to his rhetoric and had far less basis for questioning his assumptions or his conclusions. In fact, useful idiots was the term supposedly coined by Vladimir Lenin to describe similarly unthinking supporters of his dictatorship in the Soviet Union. Put differently, a democracy needs informed citizens if it is to thrive or ultimately to even survive. In our times, American democracy is being dismantled piece by piece before our very eyes by the current administration in Washington, and few people seem to be concerned about it. The president's poll numbers going down because increasing numbers of people disagree with his particular politics, but the damage being done to the fundamental structure of this nation goes far beyond particular counterproductive policies. Thomas Sowell goes on to say that just where in the Constitution does it say that a president has the authority to extract vast sums of money from a private enterprise and then distribute it as he sees fit to whomever he deems worthy of compensation? Nowhere. And yet that is precisely what is happening with a $20 billion fund to be provided by British Petroleum to compensate people harmed by their oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Many among the public,
and in the media may think that the issue is simply whether BP's oil spill has damaged many people who ought to be compensated. But our government is supposed to be a government of laws and not of men. If our laws and our institutions determine that BP ought to pay $20 billion or $50 billion or $100 billion, then so be it. But the Constitution says that private property is not to be confiscated by the government without due process of law. Technically, it's not been confiscated by Obama, but that's a distinction without a difference. With vastly expanded powers of government available at the discretion of politicians and bureaucrats, private individuals and organizations can be forced into accepting the imposition of powers that were never granted to the government by the Constitution. And if you believe that the end justifies the means, then you don't believe in constitutional government. So says Thomas Sowell, and he makes a very good point. BP goes into the White House, and Obama extracts a $20 billion promise from them, or demand from them. He has no right to do that. Those are the things that can be hashed out in the courts between the people that are asking for the money and the and BP, or can be hashed out directly before it gets to the courts. But this is just part and parcel of the whole scenario of the administration, the president, taking control of what businesses do. We saw that with the takeover of AIG, American Insurance Group, and General Motors, and Chrysler, among others. All of a sudden, the president is now directing them or firing people in these organizations, like in General Motors. So, if you look at the Constitution, he has absolutely no authority to do any of that. And yet because we see a villain here, right? We see a villain, whether it's BP or General Motors executives or AIG executives, whatever it is, we see a villain, or at least one painted to be a villain, and we want to go after them and extract revenge, comeuppance, pound of flesh, whatever you want to call it. So we bypass the Constitution. We've been bypassing the Constitution since before Obama. We bypass the Constitution every time we go into the battlefields of Iraq and Afghanistan. We bypass the Constitution on those wars. They were never declared by Congress. And if you go to the Constitution, it very clearly says that only Congress has the power to declare war. And it's interesting that in all of the wars that we've declared, virtually all of the wars that we've declared in our history, we have won. And all the wars that we have not declared, which were not technically therefore wars, we have lost or are losing or have not won. That includes the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the war in Iraq, which is continuing, and the war in Afghanistan. We don't seem to have any game plan. If you have it declared as a war, you know where you stand. But we've decided that they're not wars, they're skirmishes. And so we're running around. I mean, if you go back in history and look at the game plan of Pershing in World War I, or Eisenhower and his group in World War II, you'll see we had a game plan. Everybody was on board. Everybody agreed. And away we went. We won. And this is the whole concept, though, of bypassing the Constitution. This is what happens when you bypass the Constitution. And the funny thing is that Barack Obama taught constitutional law at the University of Chicago. So you would think if anybody would go into the White House with a respect for the Constitution, it would be Barack Obama. But that is not the case. We're going to take a short break again, and when we come back, how about license plates that also give advertisements, flashing advertisements when you come up behind them? We'll talk about it.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. June 22, 2010. Gold opened this morning at $1,235.70. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,268.57, $634.29 for a half ounce, or $317.14 for the quarter ounce. That's $1,268.57, $634.29, and $317.14.
Making the right decision is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or worse, depression? Many investors are turning to gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold. Discussing costs, benefits, risks, the book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold can be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, this book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Hey, we're glad you're listening to Freedom Works. And if you like what you're hearing, there's something you can do to help keep us on the air. You can visit our website at thefreedomworks.com and make a contribution, anything from $20 on up, and it'll go directly to our program and our efforts to get out the libertarian message of less government in our lives and more personal freedom and responsibility. And while you're there at the website, you can find out more about libertarianism. You can also take a very short quiz to see where you fit in on the political spectrum. And you can find out more about people that have stood for libertarian principles like Milton Friedman and Ayn Rand. But please consider backing our show with a contribution. We even make it easy for you with a credit or debit card. And once again, that's thefreedomworks.com. And by the way, thanks for listening.
If I could guarantee everyone laughed at my jokes, I would. So anyway, this guy says...
If I could guarantee my mother-in-law agreed with me...
Honey, are you sure you really want to do it that way? I mean, far be it from...
Yeah, I would.
I would, too. And if you could hire a business with a guarantee, you would. Now you can. Protect yourself with the Super Guarantee from Super Media. Just look in the Verizon Yellow Pages. From painters to caterers to AC repairmen, you'll get the job done right, or we'll step in and help to make it right. Best of all, it's free.
Well, I can't guarantee my neighbor will ever return my weed whacker. It's been 6 months. I can protect myself with the Super Guarantee.
Why wouldn't you? Just look for the shield in the only Yellow Pages with the Super Guarantee, the Verizon Yellow Pages, and let the good guys, you know, the ones in the yellow capes, come to the rescue.
On its way now, the new Verizon Yellow Pages with larger, easier-to-read print. Look inside for the Super Guarantee from Super Media. Restrictions apply. See full terms and conditions for this program at superguarantee.com.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works. Thank you very much for being with us. Hey, there's an interesting poll that has just been released. It has to do with who's qualified to be president. Well, this is a Rasmussen poll, new report, and it says that U.S. voters think Hillary Clinton is more qualified to be president than Obama. More qualified than Obama, but most believe that both Clinton and Obama are more fit than the three top Republicans interested in the job, or who may be interested in the job. 57% of voters believe Hillary Clinton is qualified for president. 34% believe she is not. For Obama, 51%, 6% less, say he's fit for the job, and 44% say that he is not. Now, nearly as many... 49% say former governor Mitt Romney, Republican candidate, is qualified. That's 2% less than Obama, 8% less than Hillary Clinton. Just 35% of voters believe former House Speaker Newt Gingrich is qualified to be president, and nearly half, 48% say he is not fit for office, fit for the office. How about Sarah Palin? She gets the lowest marks of all. Only 26% in the Rasmussen Report poll say she's qualified to be president, and 61% do not. So apparently, if she's got any ideas on the White House, she's going to have to up her her favorability polls there. Now, this poll was conducted June the 17th and 18th. You know, these polls, you never know, of course. I think the latest poll that I have heard about here in Florida regarding the senatorial race, you know, Charlie Crist, Kendrick Meek, Marco Rubio, shows that Charlie Crist has got about a 7 or 8 point lead over Marco Rubio right now. Now, that's the Florida State Chamber of Commerce, which conducted that particular poll. Well, I guess it's nice when a person that you're trying in court admits that they're guilty, and in fact, probably more guilty than the crime that they're being charged with. Well, that's going on with the Times Square terrorist plot. Calling himself a Muslim soldier, the Pakistani-born U.S. citizen who tried to detonate that bomb in Times Square has pled guilty, and he pled guilty yesterday to carrying out the attempt. He said his attack was the answer to, quote, the U.S. terrorizing Muslim people, unquote. Wearing a white skull cap, Faisal Shahzad entered his guilty plea in U.S. District Court in Manhattan just days after a federal grand jury indicted him on 10 counts of terrorism and weapon violation. He pleaded guilty to all of them. He says, one has to understand where I'm coming from. I consider myself a Muslim soldier. Well, that'll take a lot of expense and time out of this whole thing, right? Send him off, marching off. Shut the door. You won't hear from him for a long time, if ever at all. He revealed that he had packaged his vehicle with three separate bombs. You know, he sounds really dumb, by the way, doesn't he? The way he tried to set it off. He wanted to set off a fertilizer-fueled bomb packed in a gun cabinet, a set of propane tanks and gas canisters rigged with, like, cherry bombs, M80s, fireworks, to explode into a fireball. He expected the bombs to go off after he lit a fuse, and he waited several minutes for them to erupt. He says, I'm waiting to hear a sound, but I didn't hear a sound. So I walked to the Grand Central and went home. Well, then the judge questioned him, apparently, about, you know, innocent people, about children. And by saying, and his comments about the U.S. didn't care when children were killed in Muslim countries, and comparing that to setting off this thing in Times Square, he says, so Shahzad responds, it's a war. I am part of the answer to the U.S. terrorizing the Muslim nations and the Muslim people. On behalf of that, I'm revenging the attack. Living in the United States, Americans only care about their people, but they don't care about the people elsewhere in the world when they die. Well, I guess Mr. Shahzad will have a lot of time now to contemplate why he tried to do that. Well, as promised, you know, California, I guess, is always the first place to try strange things, and I saw this this little story, and I thought, boy, this is about as strange as it gets. How would you like to have your license plate also as an advertising vehicle? Well, California drivers may soon come bumper to bumper with the latest product of the digital age, ad-blaring license plates. Lawmakers there are considering a bill that would allow the state to begin researching the use of electronic license plates. The device would mimic a standard license plate when the vehicle is moving. But when it stops, it would switch to a digital message. The only problem with that would be if you're a policeman and you're coming up on somebody and you're at a red light and the car is stopped, you can't read the license plate. Instead, you read "Eat at McDonald's" or "Buy Miller Lite Beer" or something like that. Apparently, the license plate switches from the license plate number to a digital message when stopped for more than 4 seconds. I wonder how much you can get on the message per license plate. And also, that's it says here, in emergencies, the plates could be used to broadcast amber alerts or traffic information. Well, what if you were able to control your own license plate, you know, and text? You know how you can text? What if you could text to your license plate? Let's say, you didn't think much of the person behind you. Could you text him something like, your mother wears combat boots? What do you think, Lee?
Yeah, there'd be like a plate range, you know?
Yeah.
Like instead of cutting the guy off, just, you know.
Flash a few words on the plate. You know, that's probably a better way of doing it.
Nasty message.
You know, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me, right?
Yeah, learn to drive, you know, that kind
of thing. Yeah. Well, the author of the bill says California would be the first state to implement such technology. He's very proud of it. And supporters say license plate advertising could generate much-needed revenue. Now, of course, they're $19 billion, $19 billion in debt. So I guess, you know, you start getting desperate and you start thinking about things like this. So what does the state do? Do they sell advertising on the license plates? And does everybody's license plate carry the same message for a while? It could be stunning what you could see on a license plate. I think it would be kind of interesting. And it doesn't have to be just digital messages. Couldn't you have some sort of a visual message? You're getting bombarded already by commercials. Why not be sitting at a stoplight watching a video on the license plate? And that's a commercial, too. I think that'd be enough to drive me completely over the edge.
What if you see, you know, an attractive person, you could flash, like, pull over.
Yeah.
Or,
you're hot
you're
looking.
Hot.
You're hot, babe.
You're hot, babe.
Yeah.
Call me.
Yeah.
And then put your cell number there.
Put your cell number.
Call me now.
Of course, the only thing is that somebody else might be reading that number and call you. You can't just direct it to the person you want to, you know. There's just all kinds of technical glitches.
Girl in the white T-bird. Call me now.
Yeah, but what if the other person, you know, in the car next to who isn't what you were texting, you know? Hi, this is Bruce. You text me and said I'm a hot number. No, Bruce, I didn't text you. Yeah, you did. I saw a flash on your license plate. I was right behind you. It said you're hot. Call me.
Yeah,
gave me your number.
I was signaling Lucy, not Brucey. Okay, just saying.
Well, anyway, my friends, that's what we are. That's what we can look forward to, especially in California, where they are desperate for money. Anyway, I want to thank you very much for being with us here on Freedom Works. Tomorrow we take a break, but we are back at you Thursday. Have a good day, and bye for now.